I thank God that I work where I work. I work with a bunch of men. They're good men. Some of them's young. Some of them's older. But all of them are good men. You can put trust in them. They show up when you need them to show up. They're all good workers. They all pull their weight. My wife doesn't have that where she works. She's in a different situation than I am. But I really do thank God that I work where I work. And I was introduced to a question this week. And I've told you multiple times, I will not argue about the Bible. I'll state my calls and then we'll just leave it at that. I am a big enough man that I can agree to disagree with you, and I still won't get mad at you even if me and you have the same, a different outlook. There's nothing that's going to make me mad as far as having a different outlook on something in the Bible. But I've talked to people before because I won't believe the way they believe. They don't want anything to do with me. And I think that's totally the wrong way to take this as a Christian. But I was talking to a gentleman this week, and he asked me a question about the Bible, and I told him the scriptures that I have read and told him what I believed. And he said, well, what if you're wrong? I looked at him, and I laughed. And I said, well, if I am wrong, I'm still a winner. And it was over the tribulation period. Are we going to be here during the tribulation, or are we not going to be here? And I said, brother, I don't think the church can make it through the tribulation period. We can't make it through the coronavirus. We're definitely not going to make it through the tribulation period. Well, he felt the other way, and we sat and debated it just a little bit. And he said, well, what if you're wrong? I said, well, if I'm wrong, I'm going to live through the tribulation period, and I'm going to praise God through the tribulation period. I said, but if I'm right, I'm not going to be here for all that junk. I said, so it don't really matter to me if I'm here or if I'm not here. And we want to argue about stupid stuff like that, and we want to bicker about stuff like that, when really the main basics of Christianity is you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the blood-bought, born-again sacrifice that died to save your soul. And if you don't believe that He's the only way you're going to get to heaven, friend, you're not going to get there. There's all kinds of stuff that we can debate about. There's all kinds of stuff that we can argue about. But really, if you believe the simple facts of it, and we think we're so smart that we want to break it down and get right down into the nitty-gritty of it, and most of us don't even know the fundamentals of the Bible. You start really talking to somebody that thinks they're just smarter than you know what, and the Bible tells you to steer clear of those guys. The ones that think more highly of themselves than they ought to. They really don't know as much as they really should know when they go commuting with someone about the Bible. But just know the fundamentals on how to get somebody saved. And friend, you can stand on that and know that you've got a rock-ribbed assurance that Jesus Christ is the only way. But there's a lot of people now that want to get into the nitty-gritty of it and say, well, you know, I'm a theologian. Well, I'm no theologian. I don't have a doctorate degree. I've never stepped... Well, let me take that back. I stepped foot on WVU to go to a school for the gas company, but I've never been to a college class as far as taking a college class. But God called me to preach. I didn't go to school to learn how to preach. I've never been to any kind of seminar to learn anything like that. God just called me. I run, like most of us. Said, no, I'm not the man for the job. But God said, if you'll just do it, if you'll just listen to me and submit to me, I'll help you every step of the way. And that's the only way a preacher can preach, is being called by God. But what if you're wrong? That's the title of my message tonight. What if you're wrong? What if the bad things, what bad things about being in a wrong place can happen to you? If you make a wrong decision in life, there's consequences with it. There's consequences with about everything that we go in life. If we go by a vehicle and we're looking at two vehicles and this one's cheaper than that one, and you can tell by looking at it, well, you know, it is cheaper, but it's a lot rougher around the edges. And you go ahead and you just buy the cheap one because you want to save money in your tightwad, and then you get down the road, 30 minutes down the road, and it breaks down. There's consequences with just about everything we do. And when you start talking to a lost person, they say, well, you know, what about this or what about that? What about this? What if you're wrong about that? As a Christian, what if we're wrong? That's where we're going to go tonight. What if we're wrong as Christians? How bad off are we going to be if we're wrong? And we're going to get into some of these things, but what if you're wrong about biblical things? You ever thought about that? I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I'd like to ask you about this. And, well, I preached a message in here one day, and a man and woman said, I'd like to meet with you after church. You was wrong. I said, hey, I'll sit down with you. If I'm wrong, I'll stand behind the pulpit and acknowledge that I'm wrong. I said, but you're going to show me where I was wrong at. And we sat back there in the back little corner, and Tim was with us, and And we sat down there, we had a nice little conversation, and he kept saying, I was wrong. I said, well, you show me in God's Word where I drifted out of God's Word and I was wrong. And he never could go to the page. He never could go to the Word. I said, so in your mind, I was wrong, right? And he never said nothing. They ain't been back since. But I wasn't wrong. Now listen, if I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. And I've been wrong a lot. Now I don't admit that very much to my wife that I'm wrong. But if I'm wrong, I will admit that I'm wrong. But when somebody asks me a question about this book, you know the first thing I do? The first thing I do is pray. And the second thing I do is I throw my nose as deep into this thing as I can. You don't need my advice. My advice is worth nothing to you. But if I get in here and I give you what God gives me, you have to take that and either run with it or you have to take that and throw it away. But one way or the other, there's a consequence to it. We preach day in and day out. We preach salvation. And somebody said that we preach salvation too much here. Well, friend, if we preach it too much here, go find you somewhere else to go to church. Salvation is just about the only thing you can preach to get the lost saved. They need to know what it takes to get them saved. But what if we're wrong this evening? What if we're wrong about the Bible? What if this is not the only book? And it's not. There's all kinds of books written in the world. People write books. Famous people, actors write books. TV stars write books. Oprah writes books. Dr. Phil has wrote all. Joe Alstein, man, he's got books running out the yin-yang. Made millions of dollars over them. And he tells people his ideas on how to get saved. Wealth, health, and prosperity. If you'll come and accept Jesus Christ, you'll never go hungry. You'll have the finest clothes, the finest cars, the biggest house, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I don't have a mansion. I've been saved for 19 years, Tim. I'm still paying on my house. I'm still paying on my truck. I'm still paying on my wife's car. We still got to go to Walmart and buy groceries. So somebody lied. Is anybody in here a multi-billionaire? Somebody lied. The Bible don't teach that the day that you get saved that your bank account's going to run over. But Joe Osteen in his book tells you, hey, if you'll do some of these little bitty tricks, you're a millionaire. Now listen, I am rich beyond measure. I'm the richest man on the face of the earth. I'm saved. My wife's at work. She's saved. My two kids are over there in the other building. They're saved. My mom and dad's saved. My mother-in-law and father. Hey, I'm rich beyond measure. You can't weigh that in gold. You can't weigh that in silver. I wouldn't trade it for any amount of money in the world. But what if we're wrong? What if we're wrong about the Bible? Psalms 18, look what it says in verse 30. Psalms 18, verse 30. As for God, His ways is perfect. This is Old Testament, by the way. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. You say, well, where are you going with this, preacher? A Christian has to believe that the Bible is the inherent, infallible Word of God. There is no other Word that you need to read. There is no other Word that you need to study. We had a young man come over here that I've heard preach probably 40 or 50 times in my life, and Jeremy invited him to come over here and preach to the middle school and the high school. Jeremy was preaching in here. I went over there to listen to him, and the first words out of his mouth was, you don't just need the Bible. You can have all kinds of books. And I said, oh, no. He said, well, you can read anything you want to. And I said, yeah, you can read anything you want to. You can read where the red fern grows. You can read all this other stuff. But when it comes to salvation, this is the only book that's going to get you across the finish line. I don't care what anybody else has to say. This is it, period, dot, end of sentence. Hey, you can't go anywhere else because this is a tried and true book. Man, it's been around for 1,000 years. And you know what? I ain't caught it up in one lie yet. I can dig up some of the stuff on you all. I can catch up lies all the time. You all can catch up lies on me all the time. You can read the newspaper and find lies. You can turn on the news as Donald Trump tells you it's fake news. You can find lies everywhere you go. But right here, this is tried and true. I believe that God inspired the men to write down the words in these books so that we could make it over the next couple thousand years and we could learn. And thank God that I'm not in the Bible. You ever thought about that? How big of a mistake would I be in the Bible? We read about David and all his fornication and all the things that he did. We read about all these other ones, the mistakes that they made, and they're written down in black and white for us to look at and say, hey, he was a blooming idiot. I don't need to do it that way. But what would we be written down in the Bible as? I don't want mine written down in the Bible. I would be embarrassed. All the things that David did. Let's just go back and look at some of the other. Well, I'll just tell you where they're at. What about old John the Baptist? His mom was pregnant with him. Mary walks into the house and he leaped in his mother's womb. He comes out of the wilderness in camel hair, eating locusts and honey, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." One of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ himself said, "Hey, among men, among women, there is no other man greater than John the Baptist." But John the Baptist would tell you the truth, whether it peeled the hide back or not. And this little girl come in dancing in front of a king one day, and the king said, "Hey, anything you want in the kingdom, I'll give it to you." She said, "Give me John Baptist's head on a silver platter." And he said, "It's done." Well, they put John in prison, and poor old John, when he got in prison, he had a little spell there where he said, "You know what? Bring me two of my disciples and send them out and go talk to Jesus and say, is he really the one or is there another one to come?" There was a point in John the Baptist's life where he had a little hiccup there and a little bit of doubt come into him and thought, "Hey, did I really do what I'm supposed to do?" And friend, we all have a moment of doubt. Jeremy preached on worry. We worry a lot. But every now and then we get to a point in our Christian life where we doubt and we think, "Oh, I can't come back from doubt." There's people in the Bible that have come back from doubt. John the Baptist had a little bout with it there in the jail cell. And you know what? I believe that he's all in heaven. I believe he's sitting there with God. I believe he's doing what he wants to do in God's kingdom. What about old Peter? Man, Peter got out. He walked on the water. Peter, he drawed his sword while they was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cut off the guard's ear. Peter was just right out front. Everything Jesus needed him to do. Except for in the garden when they took Jesus in for the fake trials. He started denying Christ. They said, "Hey, your tongue defies you. You're one of his." "No, I'm not his." Three times. But more importantly than that, right before that, Jesus was sitting down with him and he told him, he said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." And I imagine Peter remembered that because the third and final time that he denied Christ, he heard that old rooster crow. You say, "Well, that's denying Christ." Well, you got to have a little doubt to deny. He had to doubt that Jesus really was who he said he was. Jesus told him, he said, "Hey, you can tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it back again." They was thinking about a structure built by hands. And Jesus was talking about a spiritual structure. His own body. He knew that he could lay it down. He knew that he could draw it up again. He is 100% man and 100% God. But what if we're wrong? Look over in John chapter 8, please. For a lost person, for a saved person, we know that the Word of God, it's true. We believe it with all of our heart. Friend, if you're in here and you don't believe every word that's in this book, you need to check yourself. You can't just pick Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the ones that make you feel good. I've had discussions with people in churches that say, "Oh, well, we don't read out of the last book of the Bible." Well, when you turn to the front of mine, it's got 66 books written in it. Amen. Not 65. And the very first words in the book says, "Hey, if you'll read it, it's a blessing unto you." So why pick and choose what you're going to live by? Why pick and choose what you're going to do? So if we're saved, we know it's the Word of God. But if you're lost, look over at John chapter 8, verse 47, please. "He that is of God heareth God's Word. Yet therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." You see, we preach in day in and day out, and we tell you what God's Word says, and you have doubt in your heart that it really is what we say it is. I was that way for years. I was that way for months. I was that way the night that I got saved. I doubted that Jesus really was who he said he was. I doubted that he rose from the grave. I doubted that he really was God's Son. And I finally got to a place and thought, "Well, I put my faith and trust in everything else. Why not try this?" But still in the back of my mind, even after I was saved, I believed I was saved that night before I even got up out of my pew. But there's been doubt creep in on me. I've went through things that most people shouldn't go through as Christians. And doubt started creeping in. I'm thinking, "Man, is it really worth it?" We shouldn't be fighting and bickering amongst ourselves, brothers and sisters in Christ, churches in Christ. We shouldn't be fighting amongst ourselves. Hey, we got enough bickering and cooling to do to preach the Word of God. But here we would rather bicker and cool amongst ourselves. What kind of a light is that to a community? They're already looking for an excuse. And they say, well, if you all can't get along with yourself, why in the world would I want to come and join something like that? Why would I want to be a part of that? You all don't even get along yourselves. And you say, oh, Jesus is the problem or the thing that fixes all your problems. Well, because churches don't let Jesus in very much anymore. But what if we're wrong about the Bible? What's the consequences of being wrong about the Bible? Well, if a Christian's wrong about the Bible, you've lived a good moral life. You're not supposed to do anybody wrong. You shouldn't steal off people. You shouldn't lie to people. You shouldn't cheat. It's just kind of a moral roadmap that we should live our life by. So if we come down to the end of our life and we take our last breath and the Bible really isn't what we think it is, are we out anything? What if you're in here and you're lost? You say, well, I don't believe that God really created everything. I believe that a big bang happened out there in space and everything's just kind of evolved since then. Well, friend, what if you get down to the last breath, to the last minute, to the last hour, and when you draw your last breath, you open your eyes and the Bible was true? What's the consequences then? Oh, you can't hit the rewind button and say, oh, he told me about that 10 years ago. That bald-headed preacher told me that the Bible was true. Let me go back and I'll believe him then. I'll believe the Word of God then. No, the consequences stick then. And there's people that come in and go out every day of churches all around the world. The man of God preaches the Word of God. We try to convince you that the Word of God is true. And we try to convince you that, hey, there is consequences that if you do not accept what we tell you, that you will die and you will split the gates of hell wide open. And they say, well, I would rather take my chances out in the world. And you know, some of them, now I know I'm not smart, but some of them have got the opportunity that morning to get saved. And some of them's died that day. And I believe with everything in me, they know when they open their eyes and stand before God, I believe that rewinds back through their head and they had that opportunity. I believe that's going to be part of your punishment in hell, is every time the preached word's been presented to you, every time a good gospel song has told you the good news of Jesus Christ, that's just going to run through your brain over and over and over, and you're going to think of the consequences that you had to deal with. But what if it's not true? Christian, we're going to die. And they're going to bury us. They're going to throw dirt in my face. The worms are going to eat me. The bugs are going to eat me. And I'm going to be dead. So what do I have to lose? You know, it's not like I give up my house. I didn't sign my house over to you. I didn't sign my truck and my cars over to you. I didn't sign my dogs over to you. If I die and the Bible's really not true, I've not lost anything. If anything, I've gained not going to bed with headaches and not waking up the next morning puking. Not knowing who's laying beside me in my bed. All these things, you see, I really didn't lose anything at all. If anything, I've helped myself along the way. But I know it's true. Amen. Way down, deep down inside. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing in the world that's going to convince me otherwise. What if the tribulation does come tomorrow, friend? It's not going to convince me otherwise. Jesus, one day, is going to claim His and I'm going to go and be with Him. It might take me 10 years. It might take me 50 years till I get there. It might take me I don't know how long. But one day I'm going to get there. I'm going to fight. I'm going to kick. I'm going to scream. I'm going to claw all the way till I make heaven my home. But right now we're supposed to be pacifist. Just lay down, take it, do what they say, shut down when they say, do what the government says, and just be still. Friend, it's not time to be still. It's time to speak up and let people know there really is a God that we serve, and there really is consequences that if you don't accept Christ, you could die and you could go. They ain't no you could. You will die and you will go to hell. So, if I'm wrong about the Bible, what am I going to do? I'm going to die and they're going to bury me. If you're wrong about the Bible and you don't believe it, you're going to wake up one day. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the last breath that you take here, the very next time you take a breath, you're going to stand before the presence of God. And if you're saved, it's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a glorious moment. I think you're going to hit your knees. You're going to cry. You ain't going to be able to say a word when you actually get to see Him face to face. The one that hung on the cross. The one that died for your sins. I think you're just going to stand there and all praise His holy name. But man, when you get before Him and you're lost, and you realize that He really is who He says He is. He really is the only begotten Son of God. I believe He's going to have a look on His face that's going to scare you absolutely to death. You may have all the excuses in your back pocket you think you've got ready to tell Him why you didn't get saved, and I don't believe you're going to get a word out of your mouth. It's kind of like one of them times you know you're going to get your butt busted when your dad gets home. You go in, you put the extra underwear on, you put the extra sweatpants on. You try to get everything prepared because you know what's coming. It don't work. You come in there looking like Fat Albert. They know you've got more clothes on. Hey, listen, Jesus knows the very thoughts in your mind right now. Amen. You say, well, He's preaching this. What if it's wrong? I don't believe it anyways. God knows what your thoughts are right now. God knew what my thoughts was December the 6th of 2001 when that little black guy was preaching. I thought, man, I can't wait to get out of here. God knew my heart. I'm glad He just called out and softened my heart and broke my heart and gave me that chance. But what if we're wrong? What if we're wrong about the Trinity? You see, as a Christian, as a member of this church, we give out articles of faith. And you have to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call Him. You have to believe in all three to be a member of this place. And really, in all honesty, you have to believe in all three to be a Christian. You can't just pick one or two of them and say, well, I'm going to leave this one out. I really don't want to mention him, or I really don't want to bring him up. But if you go back to the very beginning of the book, all the way back in Genesis, you can find all three of them. They're all three all the way through the whole end. And when you get to the very end and you die, they're still all three going to be there. But what if we're wrong about them? What if there's really not a God in heaven? What if there's really not a Jesus Christ sitting on His right hand? What if there's really not a Holy Spirit dwelling right here, right amongst us right now, and talking? Man, I felt Him this evening. But what if they're not real? You're not going to convince me that they're not real. But you say in your mind, well, what if they're not? Go over to Exodus chapter 20, please. For a Christian, we know that they're real. Why do we know that they're real? Because in the first place, we believe every word in God's Word is true, inherent, infallible Word of God, written down from the very breath of God. We believe that with everything in our heart. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it says that we cannot serve any other gods but Him. Amen. It's on the wall back there. It's called the Ten Commandments. I preached just one time, it's not the Ten Suggestions. You don't get to pick and choose which one of those you follow. Those are commandments given by God that you will follow every one of those commandments. And if you don't follow the commandments of God, you're out of the will of God. It's pretty simple. But what if we're wrong? What if there isn't a God, a Jesus, and a Holy Spirit? For a Christian, we know that they are. But look over in Jeremiah 25 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6 says, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of thy hand, of your hands, and I will do no hurt. So you say, well, what if there's not a God? Well, friend, here in God's word in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6, you're going to make God angry. And you don't want to see God angry. This is His own chosen people, the children of Israel that He's talking about. So you know good and well if God's going to get mad at the chosen children of Israel, that God will get mad at the Gentiles. And if you get God mad, you get God angry, friend, you don't want to be on the side of God's wrath. I know that He's real. I feel the Holy Spirit. Now this morning I come in here with the wrong attitude. I got up on the wrong side of the bed or something, and I was mad from the moment I woke up. I didn't want to be here. I thought about leaving one time. I'm just going to be honest with you. Hey, I'm human. I mess up. I come in here and I thought, I cannot wait till He says amen to get out of here. I went home and I thought, I can't wait to get my message prepared. I can't wait to get up there and my turn to preach. And God smacked me right up beside the face. The Holy Spirit come in and said, you're nothing but a blooming idiot. It's the wrong attitude to have. Oh, I'm the only one that's never ever come to church that didn't want to be here. It's okay. I'll admit that I was wrong. But what if we're wrong about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? Well, if we're wrong, and a Christian goes to sleep in the grave, once again, we're going to die and they're going to cover us up with dirt. But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and you never accept Jesus Christ, you never believe in God, and you never let the Holy Spirit come in and break your heart and let you get saved? Then you're going to die. You're going to same place you was the first time because you didn't believe the Word of God. You're going to be standing in front of God, Jesus Himself, and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You say, well, how in the world can a God of the whole world know everybody by name? Friend, He called me out by name December the 6th of 2001. He's the one that let me be created in my mother's womb. He's the one that let me draw the breath of life for the very first time. And He's the one that's going to take that breath of life out of me when He says, hey, Garrett, it's time for you to come home. And friend, that's what a Christian's got to put hope in. I'm not going to leave this world till God says, hey, you're done. And when He says, I'm done, you know what, Mike? They ain't a doctor in the world's going to do anything about it. They ain't a pill in the world's going to do anything about it. They ain't a chemo treatment in the world that's going to keep me here. When God says that God says it's time, friends, it's time that you're going to leave this walk of life. Oh, I can hold on for 5 more years. I can hold on for 10 more years. Well, Fred, if you're lost, what are you holding on to? You're going to get older. You're going to get wrinklier. You're going to have more aches and pains. And you're still going to die lost. You'll probably have less money than you did before. You'll probably lose loved ones that you didn't want to lose. What in life do you have to look forward to, really? You ever thought about that? I remember, all of us remember, that we used to think that we was getting it all bottled up. We was getting everything all nest egged up, all stored up, and we was going to have the best life of our, or the best times of our life. Them guys that's older down at work, they're ready to retire, and they say, hey, they laugh when you say golden years. And they said they would trade anything to go back and be what they was and retire in the beginning and then work when they get old. You see, we've got it all wrong. We think, oh, we're going to get this all saved up. We're going to see our grandkids. And then you're so old and broke down that you don't want to do nothing. It hurts to even get out of bed. You got to get one of them bathtubs with a door in it because you can't get your foot up high enough to get in the bathtub. You can laugh if you want to. You put them in all the time, don't you? It's coming. It's here for some of you.
I didn't want to say that.
But we try to act like it's not reality. Friends, it's reality. One day you will die. If Jesus Christ does not split the eastern sky and come back from His church, you know what you're going to look forward to? A death. It's coming. But what if you're wrong? The third and final thing, what if you're wrong about eternity? Well, for a Christian, once again, if you're wrong about eternity and there is no heaven, they're going to bury me. They're going to throw dirt in my face and I'm going to be dead. But for you lost person, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon and remission of sin, the moment that you die, there you are again standing before God. He's going to look at you in the face. He's going to tell you to depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Then what's next? You're on a road trip. I don't know how long it's going to take you to get there. I imagine it's not going to take very long. But you're going to be cast in to hell. For all eternity.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now you may be behind somebody. You may be. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I'm glad the Bible don't tell us everything. I'm excited to get there and see how everything's going to work out. You may be standing there all by yourself in front of the Son of God. I hope. Because it says every deed, the good and the bad, is going to be brung up. I hope there's not people behind me whenever my bad deeds are brung up what I used to do.
Amen.
I hope God just says, hey, you did it all wrong. But this one thing you did,
yeah.
I'm happy. Come on in.
Amen. Amen.
But what if we're wrong? You're going to be standing there before the Son of God. You're going to be in awestruck looking at Him. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Then you're going to be on a road trip to hell. When you get to hell, you're going to look up on the side of the wall of that place and you're going to see Satan just like everybody else has seen Satan. They say, is this the one that deceived the whole world? Is this the one that convinced me that the Bible wasn't real? Is this the one that convinced me that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wasn't real? Is this the one that put me in this place? You're going to scream that for all eternity. You're going to burn for all eternity. And friend, you think I like preaching about this? You know what? You read your Bible very much, you see that Jesus preaches a lot more on hell than he does heaven. Because it's a real place.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, look over in Revelation 21. I believe that it's real. I believe that there's a real heaven.
Amen.
And I believe that there's a real hell. You say, well, preacher, how do you believe that there's a real heaven? Well, there has to be a heaven because in Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, and I saw a new heaven. Well, if there's a new heaven, there has to be a heaven. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe with everything in me, God has been gone for over 2,000 years, preparing a place for us that when we get there, we can call it home for all eternity. We're not going to have another want. We're not going to have another pain. We're not going to have another separation. We're going to be there in the bask of glory of God forever and ever. But where are you going to be? You see, we'll be able to see smoke coming up out of a place way over yonder. Across the sea of glass to where we can't get to you if we wanted to. And you definitely ain't going to be able to get to us when you want to. You're going to be able to see and remember things that you wish you could forget. You're going to beg for death and death will flee from you. You're going to look at people around you that are weeping and gnashing, that are crying, that are falling, that are burning. And you're going to ask if there's any way to get out of this place. Is there any way that I can go back and change my mind about not believing the Bible, about not believing in God, about not believing in eternity? Because friend, eternity is real. So look over at Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. You say, well, you say there's a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away. That's fine, but it doesn't say anything about hell, preacher. Revelation chapter 1, look what it says in verse 18. This is written in red, by the way, if you don't have a Bible handy. It said, and this is Jesus speaking, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Well, what do you mean? Hell ain't real. Yeah, it is. My God's got the keys to it, friend. And the only way you can get there is walking through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to deny that he's not real. You don't want to believe him and you can't believe his word. If you do all three of those, friend, you got your a front row ticket to hell, and there's no changing it once you get there. I don't care how sorry you forget or how sorry you feel. I don't care how many times you tell God, God, I really do believe that you're real. I don't care how many times you pray. You know, lost people pray and it don't get above the roof. Oh, I pray. Well, what do you pray to? Well, you know, I just pray to feel better. Well, friend, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in God's word, you don't believe that his son died for your sins, what are you praying to? I was there. I remember when something bad would go wrong, I would say, oh, you know, whoever, help. Please help me. I don't want to be in the situation that I am. Kind of making a mockery out of God, kind of making fun of God, that I wouldn't submit to him, that I wouldn't believe in him. Until that day when I met him, when he called me out by name, he knocked on my heart and he broke my heart and he showed me that my sin. You know, friend, here's the funny thing. If you don't believe anything else tonight that I've preached to you, believe this. Your sin. Now you personally, if you're in here and you're lost, and I don't know that there's a lost person in here, but friend, it goes for each and every one of us. My sin, your individual sin, if nobody else in the face of the earth would have ever sinned, your sins hung Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, on that cross over 2,000 years ago, and he died to take your place. And friend, when you hit the gates of hell wide open, you will remember that he took your place and you have consequences to deal with. you say, man, I really believe that he is real now. I believe that he took my place. But you've already made hell your home. How? Well, how can a God of love send anybody to hell? He didn't send you to hell. He's got the keys to the place. He's done defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's defeated it. He's conquered everything. He has the keys to it. He's gave you an opportunity, a way to get out of that place.
Amen.
It's through His Son. But you say, I don't choose to believe in Him. I don't choose to believe that He's real. Well, friend, if you don't choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, you choose to go to heaven. God's not sending you there. You're sending yourself. You're sending yourself. You ever thought about that? Your sins have to be paid for.
Amen.
They have to be. They cannot go unchecked. Now, some of our kids, we threaten sometimes and we say, well, if you don't clean your room, I'm going to whip you. And then we don't whip them. Mm-hmm. And then you know what happens next time when I tell them, if you don't clean your room, I'm going to whip you. They go, that's what you said last time, Baldy. That's the kind of way we get.
Yeah.
Oh, God, please don't let me die in this car wreck. Oh, God, please don't let me have cancer if I go to the doctor. Please, God, let me have a good report. You get the good report, and then you forget about God.
Amen.
You want to talk about a smack in the face, and I don't know a guy, and I'll not mention, and every time I see him, man, my blood boils. He got sick. He had cancer, and they didn't give him very long to live. He started going around the churches. He started getting everybody to pray for him. And all of a sudden, he got Holy Ghost fever and he was saved and all this stuff. He started going to church. All the community churches started praying for him. People was fasting for him. He went to the very next doctor's appointment. And bam, it was gone. Man, he started praising God. He was worshiping God, going to church every Wednesday, every Sunday. Every time the doors opened, if there was revival anywhere, he was going. And then he started feeling good. Getting his health back. He wasn't sick anymore. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, he got too busy on Sunday mornings to remember God. Mm-hmm. It was back riding a motorcycle. It was back driving his sports car. It was back mowing the grass. You want to talk about a smack in the face to an almighty God?
Yeah.
God save you out of something like that. God give you the praise and the glory to let you have another few years of life. And then you say, well, God, I'm not for sure if it was really you or not, if it wasn't the doctors. God will remember that, friend.
Amen.
And I don't want to stand before Him one day. And everything that I've done, good and bad, is going to be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The good and the bad. But when it comes down to that point and I'm standing in front of my judge, my judge and my lawyer is the same person. Man, I can't lose.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times you go up here now and you get a speeding ticket and you take a lawyer with her. Your lawyer ain't your judge. He tries to plead your case to the judge. And a lot of times the judge say, hey, listen, I'm not listening to that. He's guilty. But my judge is my lawyer. So when everything that bad comes up, he's going to say, well, hold on. Now, he did do a lot of bad. And I'm not going to say that he didn't do bad. But there's this certain day right here in his life.
Uh-huh.
December the 6th of 2001, or whatever time it was, I can't remember the exact time, all that got blotted out.
Amen.
Because he accepted me as his Savior. You see, I chose to go to hell before I chose to go to Jesus Christ. So friend, as you stand, Brother Judson gets us a verse of song. You say, well, preacher, what if I'm wrong? Well, friend, here's the way I look at it. I know that I'm not. But if you want to play dumb and think that I'm wrong, what do I have to lose? I'm going to die one day and they're going to cover me up. If you don't believe there's anything after death, we're just going to die one day. We're all going to die the same. But if you're wrong and I'm right, if you're wrong and the Word of God is right, if you're wrong and there is a God, a Jesus and the Holy Spirit, if you're wrong and there is an eternity and you die, what are you going to do with it then? You know what's going to happen? You're going to remember this message. You're going to say, man, I had consequences that night, whether to choose it or whether or not. Every